when $10 million is the small, cheap one.
Yes. Yeah.
That's me complaining about one. This isn't listen to the dog complain about work for an hour. But I can do one of those.
Bot story hour.
We've run out of stuff to talk about. Time for aviation stories.
Yeah. Any questions?
Any questions I can bounce off of? Continue. I mean, I know some people probably missed this chunk of the panel. Do you want to just run through that again?
Yeah, that'd be good. We were up in the photo room, and it took a while to get here.
Okay, so running through the first chunk of the panel again. I'm a professionally certified aircraft mechanic, so I spend a lot of time thinking about things. I actually just spend a lot of time in general, but one of the things I spend a lot of time thinking about is the difficulties of flying in fursuit, mostly from a safety perspective. Again, I'm going to reiterate my official recommendation is don't. That's mostly so I don't get sued, though. Because I will openly admit, once my full suit comes in, I'm going to.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I spent so much time thinking about it. I'm crazy. First big item, all of the regular challenges of fursuiting are made more difficult by being on an airplane. You have less space to move. It's a typical seat pitch, the seat-back-to-seat-back distance runs between about 33 and about 28 inches, depending on the airline. If you're in economy, business class will be larger.
Next year, you need to bring a tape measure.
Yes.
Yes, next year I can bring a tape measure and actually set up. The version 2 of this panel will be more polished. I will have slides and probably photos of me in person on an airplane because I am crazy.
You get a piece of cardboard and cut out the exact width of the thing.
I was actually considering doing that, using what was left over from the kaiju panel, but the kaiju panel is after mine, so I couldn't do it.
Ah, okay.
If the kaiju panel would have been yesterday, I would actually have such a thing.
Next year.
Well, next time our own version of this panel. That's
exactly.
It might be as soon as Bird Hockey, it might be as soon as never.
If you die on the plane in your fursuit.
We'll see how it goes. But yeah, there is no headless lounge on the airplane, and there really is no good place to get into or out of suit on an airplane. I mean, airplane bathrooms are small. They're small on a good day. And they're probably
almost forgot this.
Particularly clean. In the unlikely event of a cabin depressurization, you'll have about 20 seconds of useful consciousness.
Oh.
It varies a bit. Altitude affects how long it'll take for you to be reduced to incompetence, isn't the best way to describe it. Hypoxia is, there are videos online of people that have intentionally subjected themselves to hypoxic conditions just to demonstrate it. And it's an eye-opener if you've not seen it. So you have a sum total of 20 seconds to get your head off and get the oxygen mask that you're deploying from the ceiling above you on before you're not going to be able to get the mask on. And when I say not be able to get the mask on, what the video I'm particularly thinking of was by the name eludes me at the minute, but he's has a master's in mechanical engineering. He's about an unsmart guy. And you know the baby puzzles where you have to put the square block in the square hole, the circular block? Yeah. After 15 seconds at 35,000 feet, he couldn't do it. That's how fast hypoxia sets in, and that's how severe it is. Put the yellow cup on face after about 20 seconds is not something you're capable of doing anymore. There's a reason why, if you've ever seen photos of an airplane cockpit, the oxygen mask is there, or there, and you grab stuff on face. Because you don't want the pilots going through that, so they can get it on in about 2 seconds. Hence, anyone who's a pilot shouldn't be wearing a head while flying a plane. I shouldn't have to say this, but I'm gonna.
You know someone who does.
That size says it all.
I know people who have, but it's always been light aircraft. And two, it's always been, I'm going to do the dumb thing while that person is there ready to grab the controls and take over. Which is, okay, if you're a pilot and you really want to, this thing, you might be sitting in the front seat. You can sit in the front seat without flying the plane. Mm-hmm. If that guy's flying the plane, okay, you can take some pictures, but God, don't.
Mm-hmm.
Use your common sense. You're a pilot. You know what you're doing. Or hopefully, you know what you're doing. So, cabin depressurization, there's that. I had a demonstration earlier, but cost me black, so.
Mm-hmm.
Second major note is emergency exits. Full-size door emergency exits are generally pretty easy to use. Overweight emergency exits may, however, pose an issue. I sketched out the two most common sizes of emergency exits, overweight emergency exits on large aircraft, the Class 2 and the Class 3. The important thing is that on both Class 2s and Class 3s, the emergency exit's only 20 inches wide. And if you have a particularly bulky digi full suit, fitting through that hole with haste may be difficult. Also, on a Class 2 exit, you're going to have up to a 10-inch step up inside the cabin and up to a 17-inch step down outside the cabin. On a Class 3, it may be up to a 20-inch step up and a 27-inch step down. Probably not too difficult to do if you're not wearing a fursuit. Might be difficult if you are. Also, some aircraft, the step down is not directly onto the wing. It may, I can't think of any examples, be onto a separate step mounted outside the aircraft. If you're wearing a particularly large fursuit paws, you may not be able to get a good purchase on that step. Also, it may just hinder your mobility in the cabin in general. Remember, if you're using an overweight exit, you have to fit between the seats to get to that exit. Doing that in the suit might be difficult. Dip beats. And when I think, oh, that's not a big deal. It's a big deal if there is fire inside the tube. I hate to say it, but statistically, most of the people that have died in aviation accidents are not. It is not, unlike with free falling, it is not the heart of a sudden stop that kills you, it's the fire that comes afterwards. I hate to be grim about it, but you gotta make the point. Also, water landings are a remote possibility. If you encounter a severe enough issue with water flight, you may have to land in the water, and that's probably going to mean you're swimming. And, well, plenty of guides out there on why swimming in a fursuit isn't a good idea. Yeah. Just general. So, yeah, there's a reason why I say it's probably not a good idea unless you really put a lot of time and research and thought into doing it. And even then, it's still probably not a good idea, but I'm crazy, so.
Well, you're going to be wearing that yourself, though.
Yes. Yes, I'm actually planning on going to sea in person, so, like, I'm crazy.
A real salty dog.
Here, here, here.
Yeah.
So if I, again, if you got any questions, I have another 25 minutes to fill because I massively overestimated how long it's going to take.
14 minutes?
Am I doing my math wrong? 14 minutes to fill. Because I massively overestimated how long this is going to take. Unless you want me to just give you some aviation stories if you want.
Yeah.
Okay. Plan to be a real piece of shit and stuff like that. I've seen everything from I work on business jets. Business jets I've seen have run the gamut from Glock's business jet. Yes, Glock has business jets. Makes great deal of sense for them. Really hard for them to bring marketing samples on regular flight. Pristine condition. gorgeous aircraft, great cabins, meticulously cared for, washed daily, nothing wrong with them. Right now in the shop, we have an aircraft where we had to take the wing off because, long story short, a mechanic at the previous place they're getting their maintenance done, which is not the shop I work at, which I say with a degree of pride, fucked up.
You can MAL the wing, it's fine.
Hmm?
MAL the wing.
There was a gouge about a half an inch deep into the top of the wing plank, or into a fitting mounted to the top of the wing plank. The fitting that connects the wing to the fuselage.
No thanks.
We had to take the wing off to replace the fitting. It's about 1,000 man hours of work. Just to take the wing off and put it back. Charging $170 an hour, that's going to cost the owner of that plane quite a bit.
If you couldn't afford it to begin with, why does he have the plane?
You would really think that people would think. You really think that the people would say, listen, if I'm going to buy the plane, I'm also buying a thing that is going to require constant maintenance forever.
Mm-hmm.
Constant expensive maintenance. A pair of brakes costs $250,000 on airplanes. I've changed light bulbs that cost more than some people's fursuits.
Mm-hmm.
Because airplanes, everything's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything is certified. Because everything's been tested to death and back.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, literally. You legitimately cannot certify a plane until you have broken a wing. So, you've got to build a wing and then smack it. So when I say flying is safe, there's a lot of people putting a lot of work and a lot of effort into keeping it safe. Because you're climbing in a metal pipe that's going to go hurling across the sky 6 miles across, 6 miles above the ground at 500, 600 miles an hour. What part of that sounds safe? Like, again, it's kind of a miracle that it works at all, let alone as well as it does. Airplanes are, again, like, I don't want to get too in detail with the airplane stories because I am bound by them. Most of the people that own business jets, either A, don't want the rest of the world to know they own business jets, or obviously own business jets specifically so that they can avoid the rest of the world. Which sometimes you might want to actually be grateful for because, like, I don't want to imagine. I can imagine what kind of mayhem it would cause if Madonna tried to fly United.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Even if she was for United First Class, just the bedlam in the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe very famous people can have their business jets and they can just so that they're not in the rest of our way. You know, be over there and stop and don't cause me any problems.
Mm-hmm.
Or more likely, be over there and pay me loads of money. Business jet money. Loads of money. Not as much money as that. But I think everyone can say that.
Sure. Can I make a quick announcement?
Yes.
Hello, panel staff here. On your way out from this public panel, there's a QR code on the doors. Scan it, it'll take you to a 2-3 question survey about the A&E panel's experience. If you fill it out, tell us what you think, good, bad, ugly, you'll be entered in a raffle with the banners we have for the different rooms. You want that lovely big art for your wall at home? Fill out the survey, let us know what you think. Thank you.
But yes, if you have any questions, if you have questions about aviation maintenance in general, I'll try my best to answer them. I'll be honest, it's a field that's hard to do research about. There's a lot of trade secrets and proprietary this and proprietary that, and it's really hard to find out even what it's like working in the industry because everything's proprietary.
Yes. What is the worst plane that you've worst condition of a plane that you've ever gotten? You're like, how the hell did this thing make it in?
Well, there are two planes that I think are pretty close to being tied on that. One is 5406, which is the wing debate. I'm out of the talent you've got. The other one is a Challenger 600. The other one is a slightly older Challenger 600. 53, 47, something like that. I forget it. But that one was, it was corroded in more ways. It was like speckled with corrosion. And the big thing is like, oh, yeah, no. A dime-sized spot of aluminum corrosion is a problem in aviation that has to be removed, and then you have to measure the thickness of the skin, and then you have to make sure there's enough skin thickness left, but that piece of skin is still as strong as it needs to be to do its job. And if it isn't, then you need to put a doubler or replace the piece of skin, or... Yeah, there's a reason why aircraft maintenance costs as much as it does, because... You know, that's the kind of stuff we do, because if your car frame rusts out, you go plonk on the freeway and you might get rear-ended. If your wing rusts out, everyone dies. unfortunately, there's a lot of scenarios that I run into at work. It's like, if we don't fix this, X, Y, Z, everyone dies. Maybe I should have started off by asking for any nervous flyers in here. Because,
I'm a little late now.
I have seen some... Basically, I'm a more confident flyer now because I've been working on airplanes, because I know just how much can be wrong on an airplane and it can still fall. At the same time... And that's, of course... In the time I've only been working on airplanes professionally for about 3 years. So in 3 years, I've seen two airplanes that have come in and I'm like, how is this thing still flying? Like, how has nobody grounded it for flying? Yeah. Both of those maintenance visits, well, I think the first one turned into a 6-month maintenance visit, the other one's probably going to be an 8 or 9 month maintenance visit. And the great one about the wind, the owner of that airplane bought it 2 months before he bought it, and didn't get a pre-buy inspection done, so he's on the hook for all of it. Yeah. Of course,